Bibles, I'd like to ask you to turn to Psalms 101. And when you found your place, would like to ask if you're willing and able to stand to your feet for reverence of God's Word. Amen. Amen. I do need your prayers. I've coming off of a bout with bronchitis last week, and we had a meeting and a half over the church last night. Dyson Grove Baptist Church came over and was with us, and we had a shout down over there, and feel like my voice is almost gone, so we'll just pray for me this week, and I'd appreciate it. The Bible says in Psalm 101, I will sing of mercy and judgment unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. O, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. A froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. Whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath an high look and a proud heart will not I suffer. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we pray in Jesus' name. We come before tonight just thankful for another day that you've given us, Lord. God, we could have been anywhere tonight, but we're here in your house, and it's only because of your grace and mercy, dear God, that we've made it through this day. We thank you, Lord, for the good singing. Your name has been magnified and glorified tonight. And Lord, you said if you'd be high and lifted up, you'd draw men. Lord, we lift up the name of Jesus tonight. Lord, if there's one here that's never been saved, dear God, I pray that you'd touch her heart. Lord, may the convicting power of the Holy Spirit of God rest upon them, Lord, that they might repent of their sins and be saved. And Lord, we do pray for the saints of God here tonight. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you'd encourage them and lift them up. Lord, I pray that you'd revive this church. And we pray for Brother Wynn, the man of God, this dear pastor. Lord, I pray that you'd touch him in a mighty way this week. Touch his family, Lord. I ask you to be with me tonight. Lord, bind my heart and my tongue that nothing would come of the flesh. But Lord, I pray that you'd speak through me tonight. We'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can be seated. Lord, help me tonight. I want to kind of pull this little thought out of the text on challenging steps to become closer to God. We see here David is talking in the Psalms, and David begins to talk, and you'll notice in these five verses that he begins to say, I will, or will I, over and over. In fact, he says it seven times in six verses. I take it that David was going to take upon himself to do something to draw closer to God. You know, a lot of times as God's children, we sit back and we get comfortable in the house of God, and we just expect God to bless, and we expect God to bless, and we just sit there and never move. But friend, if we're going to have a stirring of the Holy Spirit of God this week, if we're going to find revival, it's going to come by us taking up our cross and bearing it and say, I'm going to do something about it this week. I'm not going to wait for them to move. I'll not wait for that crowd to move, but I'm going to take a step towards God this week. Amen. It'll work. It ain't going to be easy. Amen. Lord, when he saved us, he never promised it'd be cupcakes and roses and bunny rabbits and puppy dogs. Amen. Sometimes there's going to be some tough trails to follow. Sometimes those steps is going to be a little rough. But friend, he did say that he'd be with you. Amen. If we'll just have an attitude this week that I'm going to do something about it. Amen. I will. David, he was ready to become close to God. Amen. Bible said David was a man after God's own heart. But if you read the life of David, although he diligently sought God and diligently tried to get close to God, he failed many, many times. But he never quit. He never threw in the towel and said, I'm done. We're so guilty of that, of failing. And I'm telling you, friend, if you're going to do anything, you're going to fail. But you just pick it up and keep on walking and keep drawing closer to God. It was very evident that he wanted
want to become close to God. He said in Psalm 84 that I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wicked. Oh, David just wanted to be close to God. He didn't have to be the preacher up in front of preaching. He didn't have to be the choir leader. David, he said, I just hold the door if I just get close to God. Friend, we need to have an attitude this week. No matter what my position is, I'm just going to draw up close to the Holy Ghost. And revival, if it don't come to you or if it don't come to me, I'm going to do some of that bringing revival to my house. Amen. Amen. See, revival, it starts in an individual. Revival, it just don't hit a church. It starts with somebody, Brother Wynn, saying, I'm going to do something about it. I'm going to be revived this week no matter what happens. I'm telling you, come to the house of God with that too. I'm from God. I'm going to meet with God. He'll meet with you. Amen. I'm glad for that. Amen. You see, but a lot of our becoming closer to God, it takes several things. A lot of our drawing close to God has things that we add to our lives. A lot of the times we draw close to God by the things we subtract from our lives. Amen. But no matter what we do, he said, Brother Preacher, he said, if you'll draw nigh to me, he said, I'll draw nigh to you. Brother, I can't take but so many steps. My steps are little steps. I can take a whole bunch of. But he said, if I would take a step towards him, he'd take a big old God step toward me. Brother, I don't know about you. I'm just going to keep stepping. I'm going to keep stepping until I'm like Enoch and walking with the Lord. Amen. 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 It's going to wear me out having to go around this thing all week. Amen. Here David tells us in his Psalms that some steps he's going to take. He's going to take it upon him. He ain't waiting for the preacher. He ain't waiting for a deacon board. He ain't waiting for no committee. He said, I'm going to do this. I love my Lord, and I'm fixing to draw right up close to him. He said, I will, over and over. You know, a lot of our problem in our life, we as Christians, we've got an eye problem. It's all about eye. Amen. But there's some eyes that are good. As long as I don't exalt me, it's good. If I will draw close to God, that's a good I will. Amen. We're going to have to take some steps towards God this week if we want revival. Amen. We're just going to have to move. We're going to have to be willing to say, I'm going to do it no matter what. We've got to have that foundation. A lot of our life is dictated by our attitude. You have a good attitude, you're going to have a good outcome. You got a bad attitude, I promise it's going to be a bad outcome. Amen. I'm an attitude preaching preacher. We got to have a good attitude. Amen. Hard sometimes, though. Remember, I said these are challenging steps. I didn't say it's going to be easy. Amen. Our greatest victories come through our greatest battles. Sun shines the brightest after the storm, don't it? It's tough sometimes. But God gave us the ability to suck it up and just go on, didn't he? Amen. Amen. Let's look in verse number 1 here. David said, I will sing of mercy and judgment unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. I believe maybe David was saying in this verse, Lord, I will be thankful for who you are. What a step towards coming to God. He said, I will sing of mercy and judgment. We are guilty, Brother Wynn. If as God's people, we are so guilty of being thankful for the merciful side of God and forgetting the judgment side of God and forgetting the chastening hand of God Almighty. I'm telling you, I love the merciful side of God as much as anybody. I know what it's like, Wynn, to be a drug addict. I know what it's like, hey, to be a heartbeat away from hell, laying in a hospital bed, strapped down on my way to the psych ward, and I know what it's like for the hand, the merciful hand of God, to come down and sustain me through the storm when I didn't love him, when I didn't know him, when I didn't want anything to do with him. And I love the merciful side of God, but I'm thankful that there's another side of God, the chastening hand of God. Amen. If there was no chastening, I would never know how to live. Never know how to walk. Never know how to act right or talk right. See, that's a... I didn't realize it as a young boy. I always thought mom and dad was tough on me. Go out and do something, come home. If it wasn't the right thing, go whipping for it. And at the time, I just could not understand. You know, parents use that old saying, son, this is hurting me so much more than it's hurting you. And I thought, yeah, right. You ain't on the end of that belt or that switch. You can't even begin to tell me it's hurting you more than it's hurting me. And I always resented mom and dad for that. But I tell you now that I look back, boy, I'm so thankful that mom and dad wasn't like one of these parents that just turned me loose and said, honey, you go and do what you want to do. One of these parents that was, hey, too afraid to break out an old belt or an old hickory switch and lay it to me. I'm telling you, friend, where would we be today if God didn't have his hand on us? And when we got outside of his will, he just reaches up and gives us a good one, says, oh no, son, you'll not go that way. We have got to learn to be thankful for God who he is and not who we want him to be. A friend, he is a God of mercy. He is a God of grace, but he is a God of judgment and wrath and a God of morals and statutes. Amen. You know what's wrong with modern churches? They don't love him. Amen. Amen. They don't love both sides of God. They love the merciful side of God. They love the graceful side of God. They don't want nothing to do with the other side of God. That's why they conform Christ to them rather than to conform themselves to Christ, because they don't know the other side of God. They don't want to know anything about the other side of God. He said, I will sing of mercy and judgment unto thee. Our problem is we need to get to learn God on a personal level. Amen. We're too guilty of knowing about God by what the preacher says, or by what the Sunday school teacher taught us as a young lad. You see, we come to know God and we become thankful for who he is, Brother Wynn, by digging in that old trusty King James Bible and open that thing up and say, God, just show me who you are. God, just open me up and fill me. And I'm telling you, friend, when you get to know him and you begin to love him, you'll love every side of him. Amen. Boy, I love my mom and dad. I love the good things about them. I love the things I didn't think was so good about them. Amen. Amen. I'm telling you, friend, you ain't going to like everything in this Bible. Amen. We're living in, like Derek Wilson says, old stinking rotten flesh. You ain't going to like everything, but you can learn to love it. Because ain't nothing God put in this book that's going to do anything but help you. Every bit of it. Even the things you don't like, they're here to help you. Mom and Dad, they had rules and I didn't like them, brother, but I found out, hey, they is helping me. Amen. I tell you, you want to get close to God this week? Crawl up in his lap. Amen. Grab a hold of his neck. Tell him, say, Lord, I love you. Both sides of every in and out, up and down, all around. I just want to tell you this week how much you really mean to me. I know it's been a long time, and I'm sorry, but I'm just going to crawl up this week. Lord, I'm just going to be thankful for who you are. Amen. Amen. Boy, you're blessed here at church. We live in an area we know God. Find him easy. Amen. It's not like that across the world. Amen. Amen. So everything God does is to help us. If you'll have that mindset, it's here to help us and be thankful for it. My goodness, we should be doing cartwheels, that the God who created all of this would love us enough to give us a blessed book and tell us how to walk, to help us, Brother Wynn, so we don't have to end up in a briar patch. So we ain't got to end up in a side ditch. So we ain't got to end up in a river somewhere. Well, I'm thankful for him. If it wasn't for this word, if it wasn't for both sides of God, brother, I'd be in a mess. I'd still be a drunk. Lord Jesus, I'd still be a meth addict. But I learned to be thankful for him. I'm telling you, every day I say, Lord, I'm just thankful. I try to tell him, I'm just thankful, Lord, for who you are. Man, I'm making a big stride towards him. Like I said earlier, when you take a step towards God, he's taking them right back toward, draw nigh to me, and I'll draw nigh to you. My, what a promise we have. It'd be almost impossible if we had to go the whole way, Wynn, but he said he's coming there. He's going to meet us halfway. All right. Verse number 2, the Bible says, I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when wilt thou come unto me, I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I believe the psalmist is saying here, the next step I'm going to take, he said, I'm going to strive my hardest at home. I believe in the home. God believes in the home. Amen. I tell you, if we fail anywhere as God's people, we fail in our homes. We are so busy with the church. We are so busy with our own ministries and everything going on and helping everyone else that we fail to realize the problems in our own house. Amen. He said, I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. That word wisely here in the Hebrew means to look upon with intent. He said, I'm not just kind of looking around what's going on in my house. He said, I've got my eye on what's going on in my house. What our problem is we've got our eyes everywhere else. We're looking at sister so-and-so, and we're watching out for brother so-and-so and what he's doing in the house of God. But the psalmist said, I'm going to look wisely. He said, I'm looking intent. I'm going to keep my eye on what's going on at my house. Boy, I tell you, if we need to keep our eyes open, men, fathers, grandparents, it's at home. It's about what's coming into our house. We've got to look like an eagle over the things that are coming in and watch over that, because I'm telling you, if the devil's going to fight anywhere, he's going to fight at your home. He's going to attack your family. He's going to attack your children. I'm telling you, friend, he's got a bullseye over every house that says Christian on it. Amen. Well, I tell you, we keep our eyes open. Amen. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. That word perfect in the Hebrew here, he says twice, means to be innocent. He said he wasn't talking about he was going to be perfect in front of everybody, but he was making sure, brother, he was going to do it at home. He said, I'm going to be innocent of all my children. Of my family, they're not going to be able to look at me and say, well, Daddy done this, and Daddy lived this on Sunday, and Daddy and Mama lived this on Wednesday, but they is doing something else. Oh, no. He said, I will be innocent at my own house. You know what? So many times we're guilty of putting on a big show on Sunday, and we'll come to the house of God and put on our Sunday morning smile and our Sunday morning suit and live holy on Sunday and go home and live like the dog, and we wonder why our children are growing up the way they are and resent the house of God and resent the man of God. It's because Mom and Daddy aren't living like they should be on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. I'm telling you, this ain't a Sunday morning thing or a Wednesday night thing. It's a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week thing. And friend, we need to be innocent at home. When if I won the whole world and my family died and went to hell, I'd be the biggest failure there ever was in my own eyes. I felt like I failed. I'm telling you, I haven't lived perfect. Lord Jesus knows I don't. But at my home is where I guard my testimony with everything inside of me. I want my wife to think I'm a hypocrite. I got a little 2-year-old boy. He's growing up and he's watching Daddy and he's watching Mama. And I want him to grow up and say, man, Daddy really lived it. Mama had what it took. They just wasn't talking about it. Friend, I'm telling you, we have got to take a bigger step in towards fixing our homes. The church, the Baptist church, whatever church, it'll never be more than what the home is. Your ministry will never be more than what your home is. The power in your testimony will never be anything till there's power in the home. Oh, we need to watch over our homes with everything inside of us. Our home is our hardest battles. I'm married. I know what it's like to fight. Preacher, you and your wife argue? Sure. We live in flesh. And you don't get so religious on me. You guys argue too. Amen. Your marriage, you've argued a time or two. I'm telling you, it's hard at home sometimes. Amen. It's hard to live with somebody sometimes. But I'm telling you, those battles, they don't mean nothing because the victory is so much greater at home. I'm telling you, but so many people are so guilty of putting home behind the church, home behind their own personal ministry, home behind their friends. Well, I tell you, I was guilty of it, Brother Wynn. I was a young preacher. You know how it is to be a young preacher, have the fire of God and zeal, and you just want to go and you want to go. And I'm telling you, for about 2 years, I was in a revival, 7 nights a week. During revival season, I was going and going, and I was wearing myself out. All the while, I had a newlywed wife at home by herself, just lonely and all this. And I tell you, man of God, Brother Tim Button, I was riding with him one night, and he looked at me. He said, "Brother preacher, I just want to be honest with you. I just want to tell you something." He said, "You need to go home and you need to take care of your wife. That church service will go on without you. That revival will go on without you, but your home will never go on without you." And God got in that car that night, and I got out, and I was weeping and crying because I knew I'd hurt my wife. I'd put everything else. But I'm telling you, that night I decided I'm going to make home number one. I'm going to make everything about my home number one. And I'm telling you, friend, it's just like it's just got sweeter and sweeter. Amen. It's become honey. Amen. All of a sudden, you know what happened? I started staying home more. Them meals got a lot better. Amen. She started asking me, "Honey, what do you want me to cook tonight?" Amen. It just got sweet. I'm telling you, we have got to learn at home. We've got to take that step and say, "I'm going to strive my hardest at home." Because the rewards, friend, my goodness, the rewards of your family. And I'm not boasting on myself. Since the Lord gloriously saved me 5 years ago, and then He called me to preach. I was preaching my third message down here at Clark's Creek Baptist Church. I was preaching, and I gave the invitation. A young 12-year-old boy comes down. He's weeping. I had some family there. Mom was there, my dad, and his wife and some other family. And all of a sudden, I was down there praying with that boy, and I heard a shout come. I said, "My goodness, Wynn, what's going on?" I turned around, and there my daddy come down the aisle, brokenhearted, tears flowing down his face. And he got down beside me. I said, "What is it, Dad? What do you need?" He said, "I need to be saved." And I bowed down there and led him to the Lord. It was about a year later. I was praying on the altar with another girl as she got saved. I heard somebody jump up and give a big war hoop. I looked over, and his mom coming down the aisle as she was crying. I said, "Mom, what?" She said, "I need to be saved." I got down there with Mom and led her to the Lord. Probably 6 months later, we was in church again, and my brother-in-law, who was an atheist, come out of the pew, and that man shouted and said, "I need to get saved." I said, "Son, I'm going to tell you where you can get it." At home. We got to live it at home. See, if I was living it everywhere else, Mom and Dad and my family saw I was living different at home, you know where they'd be today? On a long road to hell, and it'd be my fault. Amen. Friend, I'm telling you, the ministries and the revivals, all this other stuff outside, they'll go on. But your home can never go on without you, men. Fathers, it can never go on without you. Mothers, it can never go on without you. But that's where the most neglection is at home. My goodness, we need to get back to old-timey values where the home is important and family is still something. Amen. Hollywood's trying to attack it. Everybody's trying, but God. God's for the home. Amen. Let's go to verse number 3 here. Bible says, "I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me." I believe the psalmist David here saying, my next step is I will abstain from all things that are contrary to God. My, That's an awfully bold statement for somebody to make, to say, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. My, that's a bold statement to say, brother, in the time we're living in is the wickedness that's in front of us. But friend, if we're going to draw close to God, everything contrary to God, if we're going to have revival this week, everything that's contrary to that old Bible, we're going to have to say, I'll not set it in front of me anymore. We have got way too comfortable in our sin. We've got way too comfortable in living in this world. We've got so used to it that our eyes have become blinded. And instead of drawing nigh to God, we are slowly pushing ourselves backward. And instead of rowing forward, we're going back and back. And the farther we get, the harder it is to go forward. I will abstain from all things contrary to God. Didn't the Bible say the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Amen. We have got too used to walking hand in hand with sin. We've gotten too used, brothers, to letting it ride in our home. To open up the door to sin, to open up the door to the devil and saying, just come on in. Have you watched what's coming into your home lately that you have paid to come into that place? My friends, I'm telling you, the devil is a roaring lion, is walking about seeking whom he may devour, and he ain't fooling nobody. You're paying him to come right on in that place. Amen. Look at the ungodliness that's on TV. And I'm not here to ride a hobby horse or grind any axes this week. I promise you I'm not. I'm telling you, but there's some wickedness that we have got to get out of our lives. And a lot of it is coming in straight through our television sets. Amen. I kind of try to keep up with things and what's going on and what's popular and what's modern. And they tell me the number one new comedy in America is ABC's The Modern Family. It's all about living shacked up, got two sodomites raising a young man, and it's a family comedy. On our teen Nickelodeon, that seems just as simple. I mean, that seems innocent enough. It's Nickelodeon. The number one show for our teenagers is a program called Degrassi. That is all about homosexuality and promoting a sodomite lifestyle. And yet we sit our children down in front of it. And we get around the table and we watch all this ungodliness and this filth. And we wonder why our kids are the way they are. We wonder why that we become so desensitized to sin. We are so desensitized to sin. My God. You know what sin should make us? Sick to our stomach. But we have grabbed a hold of that thing and we have run around with it so long that it takes no effect on us anymore. He says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. He said, David said, I'm not going to set anything wicked in front of me. It didn't have to be the TV. I understand he didn't have one back then. But whatever it is that's contrary to this Bible is still sin. I don't care if America has changed and the world has changed. My God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if it was a sin 10 years ago, it's still a sin today. He said, I'm not going to set anything wicked in front of me. He said, matter of fact, I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. He said, I hate it. I hate sin. Sin has put some of my friends in an early grave. So I've had some good friends, best friends, die young, went straight to hell. Amen, because of sin. Amen. It wasn't mom and daddy's fault. It wasn't nobody, it was sin. Sin almost killed me. Sin put me in a hospital bed, overdosed on drugs 3 different times, heartbeats away from hell. Sin has destroyed my family. Sin has destroyed people that I love. And I hate sin with everything inside of me. But we have got to Percy Ray, the great man of God. My, what a warrior. What a champion of the cross he was. Percy Ray preaches a message and he's talking about sin. And he gives this illustration. I believe it's the best illustration of where America is at today that I've ever heard come out of a pulpit. When a man and a woman is married, that man steps out on his wife and has an affair. A lot of times there's a product of an affair. They have an illegitimate baby. Amen? They had an affair and they have a baby. And as much as they're not supposed, they love that baby. They get around that baby. It just gets a hold of them. And Percy Ray said this. He said, this is what most Christians are at today. They're married to the Lord. They're in a glorious relationship with Him. But they've stepped out on Him. And they've had an affair with the devil. And it's produced a little baby called sin. And they've looked at that little baby for so long and they've raised it up and they've nurtured it and they loved it. And bro, they ain't gonna let go of that thing easy. And that's where most people are at today. They've stepped out on God and they've had an affair with the devil and they've got that little baby sin and that pet sin and they love it, brother. And they ain't letting it go easy. But I'm telling you, if you're gonna draw close to God this week, how that sin is gonna have to go out the door. Amen. I know that's pretty harsh, but that's where we're at. Boy, we need old-timey men of God like Percy Ray and Mays Jackson, amen, and Oliver B. Green just to step up and tell it like it is. Amen. And we have got too many people in the house of God. They're trying to draw close to God, but they're wanting to walk with God in one hand, and they're wanting their little pet puppy dog sin in the other hand, and it don't work. He said, I will set no wicked thing before me. He said, it shall not cleave to me. I was thinking about this, man of God. He said, it's not. See, there's something about sin. Sin is like a leech. You're walking through the water with a bunch of leeches. You come out of the water, you're going to be attached with leeches. That's where so many people are out there walking with the world. They're in the world swimming pool and they've dove right in. Nobody made them get in. And they're walking through that thing and they come out and they've got leeches all over them. And we know what leeches do. They suck the blood right out of you. It's the same thing sin has done to you. You've got right down with the world and it's grasped a hold of you. And it's just like it's pulling the life right out of you. You remember when you used to be happy when you come to church? Remember when God used to really bless you and He really just used to shake you up and you used to get excited, but something happened. You got a hold of sin, and slowly, Sunday after Sunday, it's just sucked the life right out of you. And before you knew it, you was just sitting there dry. When everybody else is getting blessed, you're sitting there wondering, I wonder, when's this slobbering preacher going to shut up so I can go home? It's because you've got sin on you, and it's sucking the life right out of you. And if you don't do something about it, it's just going to suck you dry and dry. And it's going to be so hard for you to ever get up and have life about you ever again. Amen? Amen. David said, it's not. That's a bull. He said, it shall not cleave to me. It wasn't a maybe thing. David was wanting to draw close to God. And he got serious and he said, it's not going to cleave to me. When's the last time, church, that you got serious and said, I will not let sin get a hold of me. I will not let it do something to me. When's the last time you just stood up and told the devil he's a loser and you're going on for God and ain't nothing he can do about it? Amen. Boy, I'm telling you, God ain't gave us a spirit of fear. Stand bold to that old rascal and tell him it will not have anything to do with me. He said, good step. He said, I will abstain from all things contrary to God. Friend, if you're going to have revival, you got to get rid of the sin. Plain and simple. It's got to go. It's got to remove out of there. Verse 4 says, a froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know wicked person. Whoso privately slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath an high look and a proud heart will I not suffer. I believe the man of God was trying to tell us his last step to becoming closer to God here in the text was, I will associate myself with godly people. Amen. A froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked prayer. He went beyond association. He said he didn't even want to know wicked people. David wasn't being a Pharisee. David wasn't saying he wasn't never going to be around them. David said he just did not want to know their works. He did not want to be associated with their works. I'm sure David would have went right down to the hog pen where the drunks was at and told them about the Lord. But he wasn't going to jump in there and he wasn't going to get filthy with them. He wasn't going to sit down while they was drinking beer and smoking dope and trying to witness to them. Amen. I know people like that. Christians go sit down at the table with them while they're drinking beer and think they have influence on them. Friend, if you sit down and partake of their sin with them and you don't say nothing about it, you're just as guilty as they are. Amen? And I'm telling you, friend, if you sit with that crowd, with that ungodly crowd, and don't never say nothing about it, you ain't got a bit of influence over them. That's where Christians make the mistake. We are living in such a modern society, if you say anybody's doing anything wrong, you're a Pharisee and a hypocrite. Well, just let them call me what they will, brother. I've been called a lot worse. They can call me a Pharisee. But I'm telling you, if I want to become close to God, I've got to associate with godly men and godly women. As a young preacher, what I tried to do, I wasn't raised in church. I didn't know anything about Baptist or Pentecostal. Thank God I got a hold of some good Baptist men of God that taught me, and I associated myself with them. And brother, I looked at what they'd done, and I followed their lead, and I just got right in with that good godly crowd, and they molded me and they shaped me. And they just pointed me to Jesus. I didn't go back to that meth crowd. Boy, if I'd have left church that night and went back to them and tried to witness to them, I'd have been right back down the hog pen. Amen. I'm telling you, friend, you can't be around ungodliness all the time and expect to have a good outcome about anything. You have got to associate yourself with godly people. We come to the house of God here on Sunday morning, on Wednesday night, and throughout the week of revival, and we have a sweet thing called fellowship one with another. That fellowship is a Greek. We get that word from a Greek word. It's a military word. I can't exactly think of the word right now, but it takes on the meaning in the Greek language when the men were out at war, and they were going out, and they were fighting, and they had a place, they had somewhere that they could meet up. And when they met back up, they come together and they mended each other's wounds. They fixed their equipment. They encouraged each other. That's what we do at the house of God. You can't go to the world and get it, but you can come here in sweet fellowship with godly people. And it's just like, brother, you're having the roughest time. The devil's wore you out. And it's just like God will impress on somebody's door and say, brother, I love you. I appreciate you. And that's what we come here for. Amen. You draw close to God by associating yourself with godly people. Amen. I've got friends that are lost, and I love them. Lord knows I love them. I'd give them the shirt off of my back. I'd go everywhere they needed me to go and get them out of everything they needed me to get them out of. But I will not sit down with them while they do their sin. Because no matter who you are, I don't care, you're the godliest saint that's ever lived. You sit down with them, and just a little while, you start getting desensitized to what they're doing. And then it's not so bad, and then it's not so bad. And then before long, it doesn't affect you at all. And you've joined right in with them. And before long, you catch yourself doing the same things, and you might not slip back into drugs and alcohol, but those dirty jokes that you used to run away from, all of a sudden, you're snickering at them. All of a sudden, you slip off and tell one every now and again. Amen. And what does it do? It pushes you away from God. Slowly, 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 it pushes you away from God. See, the people you run around with define who you are. Amen. Brother Wynn would have never called me. I mean, I pastor a church. I'd do my best for God. Brother Wynn would have never called me to come preach this revival if I was still running around with the same crowd I was 5 years ago when I got saved. I wouldn't call a man of God to come to my church that's still running around with the same crowd, no matter if he's doing it or not, because you're guilty by association. It's all about looks. It's all about perception. And friends, this world's got their magnifying glass on the Christians right now, and they're just looking for an excuse. They're looking for something to say about you. I tell them at my church, I tell them, if the world's going to tell something on me, I want them to tell a lie, not the truth. I want them to have to make up a lie about me rather than tell the truth and say I was doing something I shouldn't be doing. Amen. God will learn, as young people, you have got to learn to associate yourself with good, godly people. You see these saints of God, these men and women that have fought a fight and they've been in there, you just get right up under one of their wings and you learn from them and you get around them and you learn how to act like them. Amen. Learn to associate yourself with godly people. I want to read verse 5 here, and I didn't really plan on preaching out of this verse, but I was sitting there and the Lord showed me something. He said, not only will he abstain, associate myself with godly people, but he said, whoso privately slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath an high look and a proud heart will not I suffer. He was saying these weren't necessarily wicked people that he was abstaining from, but it was people that were backbiters. People that were proud. See, we're guilty by association a lot of times. We don't even realize it because we get hooked up with that religious crowd that thinks they're better than everybody else for long. We forget that we was in a side ditch of life one time and we get the high mighty look and look on the man that's down the ditch and we forget what it's like to be down there. I pray God will take me out of this world before I ever get a proud look to look at people that just look a little different from me and judge them. My goodness, I pray you'll take me out of here, Wynn. I don't want to be that person. See, we're so guilty. When Sister Wiggle Jaws and Brother Tell It All get to saying everything on the phone, you know what we should do? Hang it up. Because I'm telling you, it brings us down. We get to gossip and we get to talk and we get to listen and we get to making fun. We associate ourselves with that crowd and then God looks at the whole bunch and sees us all the same. Amen. He said, him that hath an high look and a proud heart will I not suffer. He said, I just want to be around some godly men. He said, I need some godly people in my life. Friend, if we need any, this world is wicked. We're living in a harsh time. I understand it's hard out there. We need one another. I need my brother preachers. I need my dear sisters in Christ. I need them. They help me. I draw inspiration from them. Well, that's a good step towards coming close to God. Is just saying, I'm gonna associate myself with godly people. This revival this week, Mount Lebanon, will be as much as you make out of it. You will be able to get as close to God as you absolutely want to get. I believe that with all of my heart. I don't believe there is no limits on the child of God drawing close to the Lord. Because there wasn't any stipulations when he said, draw nigh to me and I'll draw nigh to you. He just said, come and I'll come. Well, preachers, I believe this week we can get right to the throne room. I believe we can draw up where the glory flows. But he ain't going to just bring it down for no reason. We've got to do something. The man of God, David, he said, I will. Boy, that's the attitude we need to have this week, Mount Lebanon. And I will not wait on my brothers and sisters to move. I will move. I will get something from God this week. When's the last time you come into a meeting and I'm done? When's the last time you've come into a meeting and said, I'm not going to leave this place until I hear from Him? I want that this week. Brother Wynn, that's why I've been praying is I want to hear from heaven this week. I want more than just 5 nights of a meeting. I want to hear from Him. I want to hear from glory tonight. Amen, as we stand to our feet.
Brother Pastor, you get him.